the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen. This and other great health talk shows at RadioMD.com. Here are Joe Galewski and Dr. Michael Roizen, MD.
And this is Dr. Mike Roizen. We had a great first hour. If you don't get the first hour, log on to RadioMD.com sometime on Monday or Tuesday, whenever you've got some free time, and go and get the archives, because we had a great guest and interview session, as well as some wonderful things on that Bridget and I answered about the health of the week. One of the stories we were talking about in the health news of the week was the story about what pizza is doing to our kids' health habits and calorie intake. We started to set it up. We never got to it, to finish it in the first hour. So, Bridget, now there's a story this week that's one of our top 10 stories of the week on what does pizza do to our kids' eating and health habits. And let me guess, it gives them too many calories. What's the answer?
You are so smart.
It's not hard when you think of pizza.
It's not that hard. You're right. I know. It actually gives them a significant increase in calories. The research study found that 323 more calories were added to children's diets per day when they had pizza from a fast food restaurant.
And so then, you can have, let's be clear. You can have healthy pizza. We did it. We do it on the Dr. Oz show. We did it in You on a Diet, the book. You on a Diet has these 104 recipes that are remakes of common food made so it's very healthy. No, it reduces the saturated fat to less than 4 grams an hour, reduces the sugar to less than 4 grams, only uses whole grain, no syrups added, no trans fat, etc. So you can have what is would be a low-calorie, economic, and really great-tasting pizza. One of the tricks in pizza, just let me give you an idea, is if you use two of the same thing in different forms. So tomato sauce is common in pizza. Put tomato bits in it, roasted tomato bits, and it augments the flavor, really brings out the flavor. It's like a flavor explosion then. And that's what gives us pleasure and taste pleasure. And you can do that with pizza. You can do it with virtually anything. So that is a great, what I would call, advantage in doing this. And we use that trick of synergy, or to augment the taste of one type of food with giving you another form of it that to augment that flavor. Well, go ahead. So what happened with the common store-bought or the common online ordered pizzas?
Well, and just to add to that too, with what you're saying about making healthy pizza, I think that that's definitely an important thing. And then the second thing would also be to encourage your kids to have maybe a side salad with the pizza, so that it's an opportunity to get more vegetables. Because one of the other risks in having something like just pizza as your main meal for kids is that it makes it difficult then to get enough vegetables in for the rest of the day. So you want to try to really use that by having a side salad with the pizza, I think would be good. But back to what they found. So it was a 323 calorie increase, and then they looked at primary school students and then in one category and then teens in another, and they found that the primary school students had an increased intake of saturated fat by 3 grams and an increased sodium intake by 134 milligrams, and then the teenagers had 5 gram increase intake and 484 milligrams of sodium intake compared to the days that they didn't eat pizza. So the good news is that pizza has decreased, children's consumption of pizza has decreased from 2009 and 10 compared to 2003 and 4, and children and adolescents had 16% and 22% decreased intake, and that was the 16% for children, 22% for adolescents from 2003 and 4 compared to 2009 and 10. So that's promising, but we do know, too, that more than a fifth of both children and adolescents consumed pizza on any given day in 2009 and 10. So it's still a substantial part of children's diets and an easy go-to for parents. I think that definitely it's important to try other foods in addition to pizza, and then, like Dr. Royson said, to really make a healthier version with your kids and skip the fast food pizzas, because those are the ones that have the highest calories and saturated fat and sodium.
So the take home here is learn to make healthy pizza if you're going to do it. Healthy pizza is 100% whole wheat pizza crust, using tomato bits and tomato sauce without added sugar, and then loaded with veggies, and then just a little mozzarella on top, so that you can make pizza that is really healthy. I should look it up, because it's on in Are You on a Diet? Maybe I can find the page number. Oops, I just dropped the book. But in the meantime, let me talk to you about
this. We can take a picture of it and put it, you can put it on your Twitter.
I'm going to have you do it. It's page 331, and we'll do that. It is page 331 and 332, so I don't know if you can combine two pictures or have to tweet it twice, or we'll have to combine it in two books. I don't know, but it basically
we'll figure it out on the commercial.
It's 322 calories per serving, and you can have up to half of the pizza, if you will. So it's two slices per serving is what we do. So it's about 160 calories per slice. And it tells you how to make the whole wheat crust if you want to do that from scratch, although you can buy them now. The story that I wanted to talk about was one on smoking. And it was saying, what are the health costs of smoking per smoker for a state? And for the state, in South Carolina, it costs you $1 million if you're a smoker. In Alaska, $2 million. But these are the costs over the lifetime of the smoker. So that's about, that's about 50 years of smoking, which is about $20,000 a year, which is about what it costs in health costs if you're a smoker. So very realistic, about $20,000 per person per year to smoke. That includes the health costs, the secondhand health costs, and even some of the tobacco costs. But $20,000 per year is about what it costs. And when you look at it for a large scale, it's $300 billion in the United States is what smoking costs per year in health costs and disability costs. So should you choose the state you work in, or the state you locate a plant in, based on the percentage of smokers. And maybe California is one of California's main advantages compared to many other states in a tracking industry, isn't just their weather, but is the lower costs of employment there because of the lower costs, that is, lower employee costs because of the lessened smoking frequency. California has about 50% less smokers on a percent of the population than any other state. By the way, when we come back from our break, we're going to get Gary Ginsberg, and he has four wonderful stories for us. Can you guess, Bridget, you have the scheme of what I'm going to talk about. Can you guess my favorite story? Well, I'm
air pollution in Beijing.
Ah, you're right. You knew it. Beijing is going to shut 300 companies down because they pollute too much, and that adds significantly to their air pollution. My second favorite, of course, is brain damage in babies from nonstick chemicals. We'll talk to Gary about which foods increase your exposure to plasticizers, and is the allergen of the year in your mouthwash. We'll be right back on You, the Owner's Manual radio show on RadioMD.com. The call letters for our RadioMD.com, of course, are Stay Well. For us, it's We Want You to Stay Well by taking control of your genes so you can live with the least disability possible. We'll be right back on You, the Owner's Manual show. Stay Well.
Are you one of the millions of Americans whose thyroid gland isn't functioning the way it's supposed to? Well, now there's hope. Introducing Actolin. Actolin is a dietary supplement that contains 17 ingredients that support thyroid function, your adrenal health, your energy metabolism, and your immune health. Actolin's nutrients were handpicked by the renowned holistic practitioner, Dr. David Brownstein. And now, for a limited time, you can get a risk-free trial of Actolin when you enroll in our convenient Smart Ship program and cover the first low shipping and handling fee of $4.95. That's right. Try Actolin as part of our risk-free trial and just pay $4.95 shipping. Learn more and sign up today at ActolinRadio.com. That's ActolinRadio.com or call 800-500-HEALTH. That's 800-500-4325. And mention promo code Actolin Radio. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent disease.
Confessions of a Potentially Perfect Parent, brought to you by AdoptUsKids.org.
Okay, here goes. I know more about cooking dinner for a party of 12 than I do about packing a lunch for a 12-year-old. I know kids like things like PB&J, pigs in a blanket. Oh, and fish sticks. They do love fish sticks. Fillets I get, but sticks? What part of the fish does the stick come from? I know I can read a cookbook that'll tell me how to make a red wine reduction, but where are the cookbooks that can teach me how to cut the crusts off bologna sandwiches? Oh, maybe we can compromise on mac and cheese. Can you make that with brie? Everybody likes brie, right?
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to push your food around their plate. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
Spring and summer bring out the best of nature, but blooming flowers, grass, and weeds emit pollen everywhere. Spring cleaning, molds, funguses, and pollens can cause severe allergic reactions. It's time to fight back. Get a blast of nature's most powerful natural remedy with Oreganol P73, the most powerful oil of oregano available anywhere. Oreganol P73 is an extract of hand-picked wild oregano grown in mineral-rich soils found only in the mountains of the Mediterranean. Experience this power and effective spice you can't find anywhere else. It is so effective, even the ancient Greeks used oregano for their health. And it's not just a mere spice. Oreganol P73 is also available as gel caps and as a sea salt based nasal spray. Use Oreganol P73 and stay healthy all summer long. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. These products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Available in natural food stores nationwide or visit AmericanWildFoods.com.
Today, you brushed your teeth. You skipped the floss. You combed your hair. You took the train. You did the crossword. You missed 22 across. You went to work. You had a meeting. You ate your lunch. You had another meeting. You wondered, how is anyone supposed to get any work done around here with so many meetings? You left the office. You took the train. You ate your dinner. You brushed your teeth. You did all the things that one normally does the day before a brutal EF5 tornado rips through town, leaving 30,000 people without power. You never know when the day before is the day before. Prepare for tomorrow at ready.gov/today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
If you've missed a show, the full audio library is at RadioMD.com. And now back to you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
And this is Dr. Mike. You're listening to you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, and we have my favorite segment of the show with Gary Ginsberg, What's Toxic and What's Not. Gary, we've talked often about air pollution and water pollution in China, but there's a story that China may actually shut down some of its factories because of air pollution.
Yeah, The pollution in China, of course, has a lot to do with the industries. They are making things, products for the rest of the world. They're also massively building out their country so that they can be these suppliers. So there's a lot of coal being burned, a lot of fuel being consumed, a lot of cars. And Beijing is basically the economic epicenter for all this pollution. And so the strategy is more than just shutting down polluting factories. It's also getting people off the roads and getting people. So if you, maybe it's not so much that they're shutting down these 300 companies. In some cases, they're shutting them down. In other cases, they are just moving them to try to, and you know, it's the old expression, the solution to pollution is dilution. So you move it around and maybe have it less concentrated where right now they have huge particulate problems and the sun doesn't shine much of the time in Beijing because of the haze there. So people are wearing masks all the time. So, you know, I think that in this country, in our industrial past, when we started recognizing that we had serious pollution problems, we put severe environmental controls on companies, and that forced some of them out of business, that forced some of them to move to places like China. But we controlled our air pollution problems through these kinds of controls. China, it looks like they're in a command economy where they could just command you to pick up shop and move over there, over into a more countrified setting. You know, they are forcing the closure or the movement of hundreds of companies out of Beijing.
And what's the guess? Has the pollution been getting worse or better? Let me tell you, I've been there in 99, 2002, 2004, 2006, and 2008. And each year, each time, it was significantly worse. But I was told that recently it's gotten much, much less. I was there in 2009.
No, I wouldn't say less, Mike. I would say that from everything I have read, that it has stabilized. So it's at a bad level. It's at a disease-inducing level. There are, and of course, pollution does not just stay at one level all the time. The levels go up and down as the weather inverts or clears out the pollution. So, but the levels are still quite high, have not gotten better. Last year they closed 392 Beijing companies. This year they're closing another 300. So they are taking steps. They're trying to use electric cars. I think that in 5 or 10 years, it might be safer to breathe in Beijing. But right now, I would say not.
Brain damage in babies from nonstick chemicals. Now, you know, we ran this story earlier, not this particular one, but another story about nonstick chemicals and their hazard, and got a threatening letter from the manufacturers about it. That if it's used properly, there's no risk. So tell us, can you use it properly, and what's this data? And this data was pretty harsh.
Okay, well, Mike, I just want to say, first of all, that we are sticking close to the science. I am reporting on what the study said, and it's not related to a particular product. In this case, it's not related to, for example, to your pots and pans. It's non-stick chemicals in the blood of Danish moms. This is a major study of 83,000 children in Denmark. And the correlation was between the levels of PFOA, PFAS, other perfluorochemicals that can come from non-stick pans, that can come from carpet treatments, that can come from takeout food containers, And that can come from other kinds of food packaging. So, you know, we're not incriminating one, and I agree with that manufacturer that probably talking about their pots and pans, that we don't tell people to throw out their nonstick or to buy only the green pan or something that doesn't have the perfluoros. You know, if it's used properly and not overheated, it probably won't release a lot of perfluoros into the food. But there's many ways that we can get these perfluoros. And so the correlation was to congenital cerebral palsy. So cerebral palsy is not a genetic disorder. It is actually a form of brain damage that happens very, very, very early in life, either in utero or in the first months of life. And most cases, we don't know what went wrong with the brain development, but it turns out that the kids have poor balance. Maybe they have trouble eating, trouble swallowing. Just the muscles don't work right, and it's related to motor damage in the brain. And so this study, basically these large population studies are fishing expeditions. They are saying, look, a certain number of kids, roughly the numbers like 3 in 1,000, have this kind of brain damage. Well, what is there a common link? Is there an environmental thing in their blood or in their mom's blood during pregnancy that we could say correlates? And that's what they fished out, was that this correlation was pretty strong and dose-related between the perfluoro compounds in mom's body. And where are they coming from? We don't exactly know. There's probably about, as I said, about half dozen sources where it could be coming from. So the idea is, when you're pregnant, you know, to try to be smart about everything you're doing. In this particular case, it looks like, your baby's brain development. And by the way, the perfluoro compounds, this is one of these classic cases where we didn't have enough testing on them before we started using them everywhere. It's that sort of like environmental blind spot that sometimes gets into the mass production system that drives manufacturing. And this is one of those classic cases. Now, after it's in everybody's body, and we're looking for the correlations to health, now, you know, we're starting to test it. So anyway, just as a prudent precaution, you know, when you bring home takeout, let's say from the restaurant, if the food is hot, fresh, hot, I would bring your own container or just avoid that during pregnancy as a precaution, because you're probably increasing your dose to these exact chemicals. And you want to make sure your frying pan is not overheated.
And of course, when I cook, it's tough for me not to have my frying pan overheated, so I'm at risk of this. But many kids warn my future.
Fry in a wok.
The next story is actually one that's related to this. Which foods increase our exposure to plasticizers?
Yeah, well, it's different chemicals, though, Mike. So we just talked about the perfluoro compounds, which are these non-stain, non-stick chemicals. This other story is about plasticizers like BPA, bisphenol A, we've talked about before, and also the phthalates. So they're endocrine disruptive, leaning towards estrogenic non-male effects. Anyway, the food, this was a study in the U.S. across 3 different cities, of 6 to 9-year-old girls, and 1,100 of them did dietary surveys, and they looked for the markers of these phthalates in their urine. And it turns out that a lot of different foods may make small contributions, but what caught my eye was takeaway fast foods, fried fish meals, for some reason had the largest and most significant increases. And I suspect that in the fried fish meals, it's not just the fish.
We're going to ask you to stay around, Gary, for the next few minutes in the second half of the show. We'll be right back on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show on Health on Radio MD. Stay well.
Are you suffering from hidden allergy symptoms such as lack of focus and fatigue? How about bloating, joint pain, headaches, or anxiety? Hi, I'm Dr. Suzanne Bennett, natural allergy and wellness expert. I have condensed over 25 years of my clinical experience into my new book, The 7-Day Allergy Makeover, a simple program to eliminate allergies and restore vibrant health from the inside out. This book is for anyone who wants more energy, more mental clarity, a powerful body, and to live allergy-free. I am offering 4 free gifts when you order my book today through Amazon or Barnes & Noble. For more information, go to drsuzanne.com/book. Again, that is drsuzanne.com/book to jumpstart your healing today.
Today, you brushed your teeth. You skipped the floss. You combed your hair. You took the train. You did the crossword. You missed 22 across. You went to work. You had a meeting. You ate your lunch. You had another meeting. You wondered, how is anyone supposed to get any work done around here with so many meetings? You left the office. You took the train. You ate your dinner. You brushed your teeth. You did all the things that one normally does the day before a brutal EF5 tornado rips through town, leaving 30,000 people without power. You never know when the day before is the day before. Prepare for tomorrow at ready.gov/today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
It sounds disgusting, but the average person has 160 varieties, 100 trillion bacteria in their GI tract. Some bacteria are beneficial, many are not. Undesirable bacteria can leave you feeling tired and sluggish and bloated. A simple solution, Natron's Healthy Trinity. You've heard of Healthy Trinity. It's the premier probiotic that's been helping millions of people with digestive problems for over 20 years. This powerful probiotic can help optimize digestion, promote healthy immune, colon, and liver function. And with a healthy digestive system, you'll gain focus and energy, and you'll feel so much better. Here's a special offer, 20% off a 3-month supply of Healthy Trinity. This is a limited time offer with a money back guarantee. Get 20% off right now. Call 866-4-NATRON or go to natron.com. Enter promo code RadioMD for the discount. Don't miss a single day without taking your Healthy Trinity. Natron.com.
My name is Jenny Allen, and I'm a mother, a writer, and a performer. I also survived uterine and ovarian cancers. I even wrote a play about that.
Maybe you are just cancer-ish, and it'll pass.
Before cancer, I took my health entirely for granted, like air. But my symptoms, pain in my abdomen, and periods that were heavier and longer than usual for me, related to menopause, I thought. But no, I had cancer. End treatment. If you have symptoms that last 2 weeks or longer, be brave. Go to the doctor. Ask questions. The odds are you don't have cancer, but find out for sure.
Ovarian and uterine cancers are gynecologic cancers. Signs and symptoms are not the same for everyone.
Now I'm feeling healthy and happy and hopeful. I am so lucky. I got sick, and then I got better.
Don't miss a minute. Listen at your leisure, always online and on demand at RadioMD.com. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
And this is Dr. Mike on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. We held him over because where he was going was so important and so good. Gary Ginsberg, website whatstoxic.com, but he is a master at describing very complex things with what I would call enviable lucidity. He just does it so easy that even I can understand it. Gary, now tell us more about the, if you will, the problem where we're getting if you will, plasticizers in our food. What you said it was fast food. Is it the containers, or what is it in the fast food?
Well, that's exactly the question. Interestingly, it wasn't meat consumption, but it was takeaway. Fried fish was the trigger in these surveys. It may just be a surrogate or an indicator for takeaway food in general or take-home food in general, but you're right. It's probably related more to the packaging and more to things that come out of cans and jars, large, let's say your average tomato sauce. Now, I know fish doesn't have a lot of tomato sauce with it, but there may be like a Tabasco sauce or something that you have with the fish that would come out of a large can. And these cans have bisphenol A lining in it, and so you're introducing plasticizer from sort of large industrial-sized canned goods. So it's known that the more non-fresh vegetables and the more not, but especially vegetables, the more non-fresh vegetables people eat, in other words, canned vegetables or the vegetables that are in boil in a bag kind of, you don't even have to get the pot dirty kind of formulations, those will give you more plasticizer in your diet. The correlations are pretty strong there. So I would say, again, the least amount of packaging when you're eating out. In other words, eat in the restaurant rather than having them put all that hot food into takeaway packaging and then you eat it at home. You're getting extra plasticizer you probably don't need. But the good thing was at least meat was not associated at all, because one concern was that the higher fat meat and dairy might accumulate some of these phthalates, but it was not true. So it's more in the range of what's fresh and what's homemade versus what is coming from a fast food place.
Let me make a couple comments. If you're having fried fish, you're really not getting the benefits of fish other than not having the meat or other things. But the fried fish take on the oil that they're fried in. So you don't get fish oil. You don't get the healthy fish oils when you have fried fish, because you're really getting, the component of the fish that is unhealthy oil from the fry oil rather than from the fish oil.
Well, so, and a lot of times the fish that is used in fried fish, like fish and chips, is often a pollock, which is not very high in omega-3s to start with. So there are much better ways to get omega-3 than fried fish.
Let's go to the last story that I like of the week. Is the allergen of the year in your mouthwash? What does that mean? I should avoid all mouthwash?
No. There's very few brands, but I'll tell you the name of the ingredient to watch out for. So, unfortunately, there isn't enough testing that goes into consumer products. And this is one of these cases where enough people have gone to their dermatologist and saying, I've got this rash, and the dermatologist goes through a bunch of things, and then it started coming out anecdotally at first, but there's enough of a body of evidence that the Dermatology Society actually named this chemical, short for it is MI, or methyl isothiazolidine, as the allergen of the year for 2013. So the society of where these doctors congregate called it the allergen of the year. And so companies are starting to get rid of it from soaps, and it could still be in your shampoo. It could still be in your lotion. It's a preservative. It doesn't have to be there. I think part of it is that parabens have been phased out of a lot of things because they're possibly endocrine active. So now they're going to other kind of chemistry, and this is pretty irritating and allergenic. And one company has actually put it into mouthwash, which raised an alarm to the point that the New York Times did a write-up on it. And this one woman claims that her whole mouth swelled up. I don't know. I'm not her doctor, so I don't know. But that was a story out of Pennsylvania that this one woman had a huge mouth rash and allergy from using this mouthwash. So I would just say that given that people, you never know who's allergic to something and you don't want to develop an allergy to this, to look for MI, methyl isothiazolidine in the ingredients and avoid it.
Well, I'm looking at one of those things, and if you can read the label, if you've got good enough eyes to read the label, it's probably not toxic to you. Meaning these labels are really tough to read, Gary.
They are tough to read. Unfortunately, there are a couple of cases where you never know. I have to tell people chemical names. If you just look for methyl isothia, that's probably enough. You're probably down wrong track because it may well be that's the chemical that you're screening for. But I agree, reading labels is a problem. You could one thing to do is to go online and look up what you like to wear, what you like to wash with, and look to see the ingredient list online and look for this ingredient there. And then if it does have it, look to switch out to something that doesn't. Because the internet these days is a huge help. You don't have to figure this out in the supermarket with bad lighting and tiny print.
Boy, I like that idea. Gary Ginsberg, whatstoxic.com. Great segment where I learn a lot every week. And again, I learned this time, don't try and just read the labels on the product. Go to the internet before you're going to get it and see if it's got MI in it, methyl iso. And if it does, it's probably got the allergen of 2013, which is seeping in. And another thing I learned, fat, if you will, or if, having fish in a fast food restaurant is probably the worst way of getting the fish. Brain damage to babies correlates in nonstick chemicals. So key is avoiding overheating them, especially if you live in Denmark, where it correlates with some of the congenital abnormalities. And Beijing is trying to do its best to control its air pollution. We'll be right back. No, we won't, because we got more time now. So I'm going to go to Bridget to talk about salt and the dangers of salt. Gary, thanks very much.
Talk to you next week, Mike.
Look forward to it. Thank you.
Bye, Gary.
Bridget, tell me about salt and the dangers of salt. Salt may not be all that bad, said the headline.
Which is what you've been saying for quite some time now. So now there's more research to back that. The researchers looked at 2,642 individuals that were between the ages of 71 and 79, and they followed up with them. They followed them for about 10 years. And what they found is that once they stratified the people's level of sodium intake, they found that mortality rates were lowest in the middle group of those people that had 1,500 to 2,300 milligrams of sodium compared to and that was 31%.
When we come back, Bridget, from the break, when we come back, we'll finish that story on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show on Radio MD. Stay well.
We get it. Who wants to talk about vaginal itching and irritation? Vaginal itching, burning, and irritation can be very embarrassing to talk about, even to your gynecologist. Though this topic can be quite uncomfortable, this vaginal problem could be affecting you, just as it affects millions of other women. Thankfully, there is now a product that can provide you with instant relief. We mean fast, as in relief right now. Prevalief Soothe is a natural, paraben-free, rapidly absorbing lotion that is comfortable and soothing to apply. Prevalief Soothe uses a new, natural soothing peptide complex and is made with natural probiotic technology to support vaginal health. To stop your itching fast, visit Prevalief.com to find out more information and purchase the product for immediate relief from your feminine issues. That's Prevalief.com. Prevalief, for immediate comfort and relief.
Only half of adults in the U.S. get the 2.5 hours per week of aerobic physical activity recommended for health benefits. Walkers are more likely to get the recommended amount. More adults are walking, but better spaces and more places are still needed. Communities can promote walking when they create long-range plans, such as master plans, and design safe streets for walkers. Communities can also ensure sidewalks and paths are in good repair and have easy-to-read signs. Employers can create walking programs, encourage walking breaks and meeting, and identify nearby paths or routes. Increase your physical activity by starting a walking group. Participate in local planning for walking paths and new sidewalks, or work with parents and schools to encourage walking to school where it's safe. For more information, visit www.cdc.gov/vital signs.
Spring and summer bring out the best of nature, but blooming flowers, grass, and weeds emit pollen everywhere. Spring cleaning, molds, funguses, and pollens can cause severe allergic reactions. It's time to fight back. Get a blast of nature's most powerful natural remedy with Oreganol P73, the most powerful oil of oregano available anywhere. Oreganol P73 is an extract of hand-picked wild oregano grown in mineral-rich soils found only in the mountains of the Mediterranean. Experience this powerful and effective spice you can't find anywhere else. It is so effective, even the ancient Greeks used oregano for their health. And it's not just a mere spice. Oreganol P73 is also available as gel caps and as a sea salt based nasal spray. Use Oreganol P73 and stay healthy all summer long. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. These products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Available in natural food stores nationwide or visit AmericanWildFoods.com.
Only half of adults in the U.S. get the 2.5 hours per week of aerobic physical activity recommended for health benefits. Walkers are more likely to get the recommended amount. More adults are walking, but better spaces and more places are still needed. Communities can promote walking when they create long-range plans, such as master plans, and design safe streets for walkers. Communities can also ensure sidewalks and paths are in good repair and have easy-to-read signs. Employers can create walking programs, encourage walking breaks and meeting, and identify nearby paths or routes. Increase your physical activity by starting a walking group. Participate in local planning for walking paths and new sidewalks, or work with parents and schools to encourage walking to school where it's safe. For more information, visit www.cdc.gov/vital signs.
If you've missed a show, the full audio library is at RadioMD.com. And now back to you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
And this is Dr. Mike. When we were graciously interrupted by those things that support us called commercials, we were talking with Bridget about salt and this study on salt that said, unless you've got salt-sensitive hypertension, you don't have to worry about it. Salt-sensitive hypertension, if you go away from salt, if you eliminate it from your diet, your blood pressure drops 20 to 40 points on both the upper and the lower number, the systolic and the diastolic, then you've got salt-sensitive hypertension and you have to worry about it. For everybody else, it wasn't a risk, was it, Bridge?
No, it wasn't. So they broke up the people into three different groups, and one group had less than 1,500 milligrams of sodium, one group had 15 to 2,300 milligrams of sodium, and then the third group had more than 2,300 milligrams of sodium a day. And what they found once they stratified the sodium intake by the level were that the mortality rates varied, not based on who had the most sodium, but it was actually mixed. So the people who had the lowest mortality rates were in the middle group of sodium intake. They had 1,500 to 2,300 milligrams, and they had a 31% mortality rate compared with 34% for the people who ate the lowest amount of sodium. So what they found is that, exactly as Dr. Roizen said, sodium intake was not associated with a higher risk of death in this elderly population of 70 to 79. And the researchers did caution that it might not be, or to be cautious with the interpretation, because this was a healthy group of individuals. But still, it's pretty, I think it adds to the evidence of what Dr. Roizen's been saying for some time now, that sodium is not the biggest culprit when it comes to food, which is why it's not included in the five food felons.
Right. In fact, the data on sodium is pretty clear from a whole bunch of other studies that unless you have that salt-sensitive hypertension, you don't have to worry about whether you use a little or a lot. The key, in fact, in eating healthy is to learn to use seasonings. I like to learn to use seasonings other than salt. And in fact, we've had a series of people suggesting different recipes with different seasonings on the UDOCS, Y-O-U-D-O-C-S, at gmail.com website. One of them I learned was to, when you're using turmeric, to blend it with cinnamon, and both it takes away the color and the harsh taste, and they're both beneficial for your body in decreasing inflammation. Another story this week on that came out was on e-cigarettes. This is if you're e-cigarette user, you want to keep the temperature down. So e-cigarette users can alter the voltage in their e-cigarettes. It's the temperature at which they heat the nicotine liquid, and the higher you get it, the more nicotine you get. And nicotine isn't the problem. The problem is everything else, because when you heat it hot, you not only get more nicotine, you get more formaldehyde, and that's right at formaldehyde at your nose and your mouth, where it causes nasal cancer and lymphomas. So that's a problem. So keep your temperature down if you're going to use e-cigarettes. We think e-cigarettes, in fact, are probably just a gateway for most people, for most kids, to get hooked on cigarettes in general. Now, there's a new standard that the FDA and the USDA have proposed for bacteria on poultry. Bridge, what's that new standard?
Can we switch to menu labeling?
Okay, let's go to menu labeling. Sorry. This is actually a bigger story.
Only because I love this story and I want to make sure that we get it in.
Perfect. It's a really important story. Go to it.
Okay, so they did a new study looking at whether posting calorie labels on restaurant menus is effective in influencing behavior change and whether consumers pay attention to it or not, especially because now chain restaurants that have more than 20 restaurants are going to be required to post their calories. So what they found in King County is that calorie labels actually tripled awareness and use of the information that that consumers used. And what they found is specifically in McDonald's and Starbucks, they looked at whether people noticed the calorie content for Big Macs and caramel frappuccinos, and the percentage jumped from 8% that noticed it in 2008 to nearly 25% in 2010, which was about a year after the mandatory labeling took effect. So there's two really good things about calorie labeling, and this study substantiates the fact that it helps people pay more attention to the calories that they're consuming. But then on the back end, it also helps to make sure that restaurants an incentive to decrease the calories in their food and try to modify the recipes, which is what a 2013 study found from the same county, King County, and they found that the calories fell after menu labeling began. And so there's two positives that we're looking at, one from a personal awareness standpoint, and then two for restaurants to be hopefully embarrassed by the fact that they have so many calories in some of their dishes and to try to modify the dishes.
So this actually showed a benefit for doing this. It's one of the few times we've seen a benefit for doing this.
Exactly.
But it holds. This is going to get progressive, and the good news is it's up to 25% notice it. That's really a tripling is really a very great improvement. Obviously, we often speak that if you get to five normals, one of which being waist for height or eating a healthy diet, so those are two of the five that are both influenced by diet and calories, that if you do that, eating more fruits and vegetables, less processed food, less processed meats, that if you do that, you're going to decrease your risk of all causes of heart disease, stroke, memory loss, cancer, even all what we call all-cause mortality, infections included, that you decrease that risk by 80 to 90%. And that's such a substantial change that, and menu labeling is so important in that, that I think hopefully this holds very, very good news. I'm going to get in my tip of the week, if you will. So we'll do a short form of two tips of the week. Sonar? And the first tip is, do you need a buddy? Yes, a buddy to keep you accountable is key to your do-over. This is Your Do-Over is my new book. Who's the one who has it, what it takes to be your health champion is what you want in a buddy. And the other tip of the week that I'm going to squeeze in is one that we'll save for next week because I don't think I'll be able to squeeze it in, but I'm going to give it to you quickly. A hippocampus is a terrible thing to shrink, and we'll talk about how you can increase it. We'll be right back next week with a new show on You, the Owner.
So glad we left that stupid party.
No joke.
Hey, baby, are you an overdue library book? Because you got fine written all over you.
Ugh, barf.
What about that girl with the hoop earrings?
Ridiculous. When she was dancing...
Megan, look out. Look out.
Oh, my God. Becky. Becky, are you okay?
My arm. I think it's broken.
Can you bend it?
It's already bent. In the wrong direction.
I can't believe this. I'm so sorry. I only had a few drinks. I was just buzzed.
Really? Just buzzed?
Yeah, I swear.
Well, in that case,
my arm is fine.
Ah, that's better.
You're really okay? You're serious, Becky?
No, genius. I'm not serious.
Ow! My arm, it hurts.
Buzzed driving. Maybe we should stop acting like it's no big deal. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, the Ad Council, and this station.
It sounds disgusting, but the average person has 160 varieties, 100 trillion bacteria in their GI tract. Some bacteria are beneficial, many are not. Undesirable bacteria can leave you feeling tired and sluggish and bloated. A simple solution, Natron's Healthy Trinity. You've heard of Healthy Trinity. It's the premier probiotic that's been helping millions of people with digestive problems for over 20 years. This powerful probiotic can help optimize digestion, promote healthy immune, colon, and liver function. And with a healthy digestive system, you'll gain focus and energy, and you'll feel so much better. Here's a special offer, 20% off a 3-month supply of Healthy Trinity. This is a limited time offer with a money back guarantee. Get 20% off right now. Call 866-4-NATRON or go to natron.com. Enter promo code RadioMD for the discount. Don't miss a single day without taking your Healthy Trinity. Natron.com.